Chapter 13. It was pouring with rain the next day. Nia decided to catch up on emails and set up her laptop on a small table facing the window. There were signs of normality returning to the close. The vets were as busy as ever, but Joe had also reopened White's, and Nia noticed a few people pass her window on the way to find shelter and an early coffee. Opposite, she saw the lights on in the salon. Jade was clearly preparing it to restart business. Nia felt for her. It must be very hard with so many poignant reminders of Ruby. Nia was just going through her emails when she noticed two police officers walking up the close. She recognised Ben, but not the woman with him. Suddenly alert, she wondered if they were coming to her, but they walked past, and she saw them enter the gallery. Sometime later they went to the salon, and eventually left again, and then she saw Jade leave the salon and walk up to the gallery. The visits had seemed significant, and Nia was longing to know what news they had imparted. However, she also knew that, frustratingly, she would have to wait for the news to come to her. At lunchtime, the rain eased off, and she took Romeo out for a walk. On her return, she glanced over at the salon and saw Jade at the reception desk close to the window. Their eyes met, and Jade gestured to her to go in. In a complex mime exchange, Nia explained she would take Romeo in, dry him off, and then come over. The rain had started again by the time she left, and even in that short distance, Nia could feel the rain penetrating her showerproof hood and bouncing off the cobbles soaking her feet. She entered the salon bearing a tin full of Welsh cakes and quickly peeled off her wet coat. Jade was sitting at the far end of the salon nursing a cup of coffee. She was very pale, very still, her eyes staring at the floor. The rain was attacking the windows now, and despite the lights, the salon felt dark and gloomy. Nia approached her quietly, as if visiting a sick person in a nursing home. She placed the tin on a table and sat down close to Jade.
"I noticed the police came to see you."
Jade nodded, slowly raised her head.
"Sorry, do you want coffee?"
Her eyes drifted to the kettle and mug standing close by. Without asking, Nia went and made herself a cup, and then opened the tin. Jade picked out a Welsh cake, but put it down untouched. Jade raised her mug to her lips, sipped slowly, and then looked at Nia.
"They have done the post-mortem and are starting to put together what they think happened to Ruby."
Jade took another sip of her coffee.
"They think,"
Jade sniffed, tears started to fall down her face.
"Oh, Nia, they think Ruby killed herself."
She burst into sobs. Nia leant forward and took her mug away. Jade grabbed a handful of tissues and wiped her face.
"I'm sorry, I suppose this was always going to be a possibility. It's just such a shock when they say it. They are not sure if it was accidental or if she did it on purpose. But apparently they found a letter. She said life had become impossible. She couldn't go on."
Nia shook her head.
"Oh no, I knew she was unhappy and very upset about the voodoo doll. But she was talking about making things better. There had been some row with Richie, but she felt that could be resolved. And then she'd written to the caller, suggesting they meet. I'm shocked, Jade. It never entered my head she might be thinking of doing anything like that. If I'd known, I'd never have left her down there."
"At least you listened to her. If this is what happened, then Richie or I should have seen it coming."
"So had Ruby been drinking more than we thought?"
"No, it wasn't only alcohol. She'd taken drugs as well. Ketamine."
Nia gasped.
"Drugs? But I never saw anything. And anyway, Ruby never took drugs, did she?"
Jade's shoulders relaxed, her expression calmer but deadly serious.
"Ruby was a complicated person. She had these high moral standards, but there were times when even she lapsed. She drank sometimes, not very often, but I knew she went to the beach on her own to drink when she got very down. It was her only way of escape."
"But drugs?"
"As far as I know, it was only the once, and that was recently. It had been a very rough few months for us all after losing Mum last year. It was Ruby's birthday at the beginning of February, and everyone in the close decided to go out for the night. We went to a large pub in town. It was quite late, and I realised Ruby had disappeared. I went to look for her, found her in the toilet in a right state, crying hysterically. She'd bought some pills off a girl in there, taken them. I was shocked. Ruby never did things like that. Anyway, Gwen suggested we take her to A&E. They said it was ketamine, but she was okay, came home that night. She promised me she would never do it again. But why did she do it? Ruby talked about her grief over losing Mum, how she felt she'd disappointed her, and then about some lie she felt guilty about. The trouble with Ruby was she gave herself impossible standards to live up to. Nia was stunned. I thought that night that maybe she'd turned a corner, continued Jade. She seemed to see it as a fresh start and she was happier for a while, but I guess nothing was really resolved. I should have seen it at her outburst at the party. We all got so cross with her, when really it was a cry for help. I had my own problems, I guess, but I should have seen beyond them. She was my sister, for God's sake. They sat quietly, with only the rain battering the windows, breaking the silence. Nia slowly tried to take things in. Where was the letter saying she couldn't go on? It was in her bag. It had a green seal. Nia frowned. But there was only one letter, and that was to the caller on the helpline. Ruby read it to me. Jade shook her head. The police never mentioned that one. That doesn't make sense. Even if I got the colours and seal wrong, I know what she read to me. I looked in her bag the morning I found her. There was only one letter. That must be the one the police found. So where is the one Ruby read to me? By the way, I'm pretty sure I was right about the red candle and the wax. I am sure she used that to seal the letter.
How come you are so sure now?
Nia told Jade about the fossil. I was excited when I found it, but now I don't know what to think. Jade shook her head.
I'm sorry, Nia, I don't understand it either. Maybe you should talk to the police. Tell them about the fossil.
I don't want to mislead them or waste their time.
It's their job to decide what is right. Your responsibility is to tell them what you know.
I guess you're right. Okay, I'll ring them. Maybe you could give me the number?
By the way, did they say if they've found who sent the voodoo doll? From what people said at the vigil, it sounds like they have been asking everyone.
Jade explained that the police hadn't been able to trace the doll back to anyone. In fact, it had been suggested to them by someone that Ruby could have sent it to herself.
But that's ridiculous. Who said that?
They wouldn't say, but they certainly appear to have been given the message from the others in the close that Ruby had serious problems. This suggestion apparently was that Ruby gave herself this doll thing because she hated herself. It was like she was cursing herself.
And do you think that?
Jade shook her head.
No, I don't. I think she was unhappy, and I think she had been badly affected by her upbringing that made her believe that she and others should live to some impossible standard, but she wasn't going round doing things like that.
Actually, after you mentioned the voodoo doll at the vigil, I was trying to remember back to the time it must have happened.
Ruby didn't say anything to me, but I do remember her telling me about losing a button off her cardigan.
She was annoyed. She didn't have that many clothes. She was going to ask Joe if he'd found it. If the police are right, then Ruby would have had to remove that button herself and therefore been making up some story to me. I honestly don't think that is what happened.
It all seemed very genuine to me as well. She was very upset.
Jade screwed up her eyes in concentration. I think we are right. I think the doll was sent to her, and that is awful. Who on earth did such a thing? You should have a better idea than me. You know the people here. My first thought, to be honest, was Elvira. There's been tension between her and Ruby for a long time now, but even so. Ruby herself suggested Elvira or Lucy, but she dismissed them. Jade sighed. It's all so horrible, isn't it? I always thought of our close as somewhere safe, cosy, boring even. What has happened?
Jade sipped her coffee, started to nibble on a Welsh cake.
You know, what with the candle, the ring, and now the letter, it's a lot of things to be mistaken about. What if you're right?
But the police had explained them all away, and they did look into them. It's not as if they just dismissed them.
No, true, but I have to be honest, Nia. The more we talk, the more I realise that in my heart, I can't believe she killed herself, intentionally or by accident.
Nia was surprised, but Jade spoke with a steady conviction.
But if that was true, then someone else had to be involved in her death.
Jade nodded.
I know. And who would do that? Who slipped drugs into her drink? It would have to be someone she knew, someone she trusted. If a stranger had approached her down there, she'd have left, wouldn't she? Maybe someone had gone down there and taken drugs with her, and then, because she died, they've been too scared to own up.
It could have happened, but why change the candle? And what about the letter? Surely that proves Ruby intended to take her own life.
It's so confusing.
I saw you walking up to the gallery. I assumed you went to see Richie. How is he? Jade told Ruby about her conversation that morning with Richie. He was, of course, still in shock. As regards the letter, he was very distressed at the thought of Ruby being so desperate, but he seemed to think it was possible. The police discovered Ruby had actually typed the letter on her office laptop the afternoon she died. In fact, they were able to tell the time. It had been about 5 o'clock. Richie hadn't even realised she was in her office. He'd been working, but he told Jade how upsetting it was to think he'd been totally oblivious to the nightmare Ruby had been going through.
He's in pieces. He really loved her, you know. I can remember their wedding day. It was at the hall, so a bit odd, but in the middle of it all, I saw them look at each other when they said their vows, and I knew it was the real thing. I know he's young, and he has his art, but Richie is going to be so lost now.
Nia nodded. You know, it's good for me to hear that. All I know of Ruby and Richie's relationship is the conflict I've seen since I arrived. It's easy for me to forget how long they've been together and how deep their love has been for each other.
Jade looked at her questioningly.
When you say conflict, what do you mean?
Nia told Jade about the incident at the Red Jet terminal and how upset Ruby was about what happened when she followed Richie and then how distraught she'd been at the party.
Right, Richie actually mentioned that when I was speaking to him this morning. He asked me to keep this to myself. He feels guilty about lying to Ruby. However, you're not going to tell anyone, are you? What happened was he'd been visiting a friend. It was someone Ruby wasn't too keen on, too arty for her. He'd found it easier to pretend he was going over to his class than telling her what he was actually doing. He was shocked when he saw Ruby coming up the drive and had run out to explain. She'd left and he thought it was over, but she was upset, felt he'd lied to her. They'd talked about it, but he knew they hadn't totally resolved it, and he regrets that. But it wasn't that big a lie. It doesn't account for how devastated Ruby seemed when I talked to her at the party. I was sure she thought he'd been having an affair. No, it wasn't that. The trouble is, like I said, things got way out of perspective with Ruby. A little lie was as much a sin as a terrible one. It comes from the religion. It's what they taught, and Ruby believed it.
That doesn't make sense. You can't live like that.
Ruby tried to, and it was tearing her apart because it's an impossible standard to live by. But she was still in the righteous, and that is what they taught. Poor Ruby. If only she had got away.
I agree. Now, do you think the police are sure that Ruby took her own life?
They told me that they would still be open to any new information. They would like to find the ring, and they would like to be certain about where Ruby obtained the ketamine. I wondered if she'd bought more than she let on that night. Maybe she'd been hiding it away. They said they'd thought about that. They are trying to track down the woman Ruby bought it from, but that could be hard. They are being pretty thorough, you know. That's why I think you should tell them about the fossil and remind them of the letter she read to you. These things matter.
Nia nodded.
I'll do that. She looked around the salon. I saw you sorting things out in here this morning. Do you think you will reopen?
I have to, and people are already asking about it. Tactfully, of course, but, well,
I can't really afford to let the business stagnate. People need their hair done, and if I don't do it, they will go somewhere else. But it's so hard. Everything here is about me and Ruby. This is our place. I feel her everywhere, hear her voice.
I'm so sorry, Nia repeated. If there is anything I can do.
Jade sat forward, her eyes focused very firmly now on Nia.
Gwen told me you worked as a hairdresser for nearly 20 years down in Cardiff. She also told me you had won awards for your cutting. The salon you were in was highly thought of.
All that is true, but I've been out of it for a while now.
Jade smiled and sat up.
Look, I know you came here for a holiday, but I'm stuck. I need someone to take on Ruby's appointments. I can't find anyone who could start immediately, and then I realised I had the answer on my doorstep, so to speak. What do you think?
Nia felt a wave of panic.
But I won't be here for that much longer. That's okay. We'll take it on a day-by-day basis, but it would be a real help.
Nia bit her lip.
I don't know, Jade. I've lost my confidence. What if I can't do it anymore?
That's not very likely, is it?
I don't know. It's a huge risk. I can't mess up someone's hair. I'm frightened, Jade. I know it sounds stupid, but the thought of cutting someone's hair is terrifying.
Jade pressed her lips together in thought.
I know. How about you come over tomorrow evening and do mine? It's in a terrible state, and you know how it is for hairdressers. We are always the last to be fitted in. Ruby always cut mine. I trusted her. So, what do you think?
Nia grimaced.
I don't know. Please, I'm desperate, and who knows, you may enjoy it.
Nia reluctantly agreed and said she would be round about 7.
You won't believe this, but I packed my scissors. Crazy, isn't it?
Not at all. I don't know a decent hairdresser who wouldn't be the same. Some may save a photo or money in a burning building. A hairdresser will always have their scissors.
Nia smiled.
Okay, I'll come, but don't blame me if you are wearing a hat for a few weeks.
That's fantastic, thank you.
Jade paused.
And you will ring the police, won't you?
Nia nodded.
I promise. I will go back now and ring them. Do you have a contact?
Jade gave her the number.
Right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Nia returned to the house. Before ringing the police, however, she gave herself a moment to digest what she'd learned. The thing she guessed that had shocked her the most was that Ruby had taken drugs in the past. It was so at odds with everything she knew or thought she knew about Ruby. It reminded her that she had only been here a few weeks, and she still had a lot to learn about this small group of people. Nia picked up her phone and rang the number Jade had given her.